Loss to lease. Loss to lease is another concept that a lot of people find daunting at first, but is really quite simple. Loss to lease is the difference between your actual potential rent income and your gross potential rent income. Let me repeat that. Loss to lease equals gross potential rent income minus actual potential rent income. Actual potential rent income is exactly what it sounds like. It is the total amount that could be collected were you to collect every penny accounted for on your actual leases. A lot of people get stuck here. They ask why there would be a difference between gross potential rent income and actual potential rent income. It's a good question. The reason for the difference is that even if you raise rents, you can't raise them on people who are already under existing leases until their lease is up. There will always be some drag. For example, say we raise rents on our one-bedroom units by $15 per month because a number of the properties in our market survey were charging $15 more than we were. If a majority of our one-bedroom units are under lease, we will not be able to realize that money till we either re-rent the units or renew the leases months down the line, even though it is reflected in our budget under gross potential rent income. So if Joe Cool is renting unit 101 for $685 per month and has 10 months left on his lease, and we have raised rents to $700 for new rentals, that unit will be reflected as $700 per month in our gross potential rent income category, but as $685 in the actual potential rent category for those 10 months. A $15 per unit per month difference or loss to lease. Budgeting for loss to lease can be a little tricky, but ultimately doable. First, you should take your rent roll out and account for all lease expirations for the year going forward. This will also be useful for managing your lease expirations. You want to make sure you have an even amount of lease expirations spread out over a 12-month period. If you owned a 12-unit building, you would want only one lease expiring per month, which provides you more stability through the year. Because your monthly expenses are a constant, you can have a great annual income, but still be in financial trouble in a certain month due to vacancy if you do not manage the leases. You want to be able to bring in enough income every month to pay your monthly expenses. That is hard to do when you have 4 out of 12 leases expiring and potentially moving in a single month. A rent roll is the list of all units, the residents that occupy those units, and the monthly rents that they pay. Once you have your rent roll out, you can use it to look at each lease and figure when in your budget you will be able to raise the rent to market level on each unit. The following is a sample rent roll for a 12-unit building. Unit number 1, 1 bedroom, size 750 square feet, gross potential income $700, actual potential income $685. The lease expires in May. Unit 7, 2 bedroom, size 900 square feet, gross potential income $900, actual potential income $900. The lease expires in February. And unit 11. It's a 3-bedroom. Size 1,050 square feet. Gross potential income $1,000. Actual potential income $1,000. The lease expires in July. And etc. until we reach a monthly gross potential rent income of $10,000. And a monthly actual potential rent income of $9,500. Let's say we have 3 units with leases expiring in May of your budget year that are below market, and 4 more expiring in June. In the rent row mentioned, you have $500 per month in loss to lease, or $6,000 annually. In other words, you have $6,000 in rent growth right in your own rent roll. However, you also have significant exposure, with over 50% of your property with 7 expiring leases in 2 consecutive months, May and June. A word of caution, however. Don't be too aggressive in raising rents on residents who wish to renew their lease if they are severely below market. You could end up creating vacancies.